Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Oh, and have we got a story for you today. One of the things that I enjoy having this program, one of the reasons I enjoy doing this program so much is because of people. And each and every person I meet has a story of their own to tell, and that is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking with Barb Rogers. Her book is a little book, but it's powerful because it has a lot of real stuff in it. It's her story. The title of the book is Keep It Simple and Sane, Freeing Yourself from Addictive Thinking. Barb, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Now, you were telling me you live in a little town in Arizona, formerly a mining town, and it has all of 500 people in it. Where was it again?
It's halfway, it's in the mountains, the Bradshaw Mountains between Wickenburg and Prescott.
Wickenburg and Prescott. Well, if we have time, we'll find out how in the world she ever found it. But anyway, let's go. Barb, you have a very touching story in that you chose a journey in life that was not particularly a fun journey.
No.
And you ended up, though, in a fascinating profession. You became a professional costume designer. You founded Broadway Bazaar Costumes.
Right.
And eventually you had to give that up, and so then you decided you'd turn your creative talents to writing, and you've been the author of 3 costuming books and books on how to get over addiction on one level or another. This is something I always feel. It takes a lot of guts to be able to put yourself out in front of other people and say, I really screwed up my life badly. Yet you have taken what could have been just a totally pickled, a yucky situation, and you opted not to wallow in its ugliness. You said, I'm going to use it. And that's what you have done with this book.
Right.
You have said, look at me, look at what I've been through, look at what I was. It's not me today, but it's enabling me to communicate with you today.
Yes.
I think that's pretty powerful stuff.
Well, thank you.
I really do. And I think that just as I feel anyone that has the courage to come forward and really speak from their heart and speak the truth of what they've been through, your purpose is that you like to think that you're leaving a footprint and
right.
a legacy that maybe is going to turn on something in the way of hope and an awareness that a person, if they're going through a lot of challenges, they can get through them.
Exactly.
And for those of you listening, if ever you've had anyone in your family, an alcoholic, a drug addict, persons that have had addictions of various types, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Because it is always a challenge. You don't know whether to insulate them, protect them, smash them down into mashed potatoes, throw them out to the moon. You just don't know what to do sometimes. Well, Barb has some pretty good insights here. Barb, tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I became addicted very young in life. I was a daily drinker at age 17. I lost an infant daughter. And, then later I lost an infant son, and my mother killed herself, and my oldest son got killed. He was 15. And my way to cope with life was through chemicals. You know, alcohol, chemicals, anything that would take me away from my feelings. And I did that for years till I nearly died. You know, and I finally made a choice. I think, you know, it comes down to a conscious choice one day. Either there's a better way to live or I'm going to give it up. And that's what it came down to for me. And I thought I wanted to die, but I didn't. There was something in me that didn't want to give up.
Now, you said right at the front part of your book that the therapists and different people, medical professionals you encountered, various recovery programs, They'd always use three words. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Exactly.
And those three words can be applied to so many levels of life, but when you're in the throes of dealing with your own personal demons and you have the chemical, whatever it may be, that you are addicted to, that's become your shadow buddy that you haven't been without for a long time, it's pretty tough to be able to hear those three words, isn't it?
Oh, it was for me. Yeah, I couldn't understand. You know, my life was complicated. It was, you know, big things going on, big feelings, and some wonderful people helped me. You know, they told me, take it down to small bites.
Mm-hmm.
Take it down to a day, to an hour, to a moment. You know, and just do what you can in that moment till things start getting better.
You talk in your book, too, about mind clutter disease.
Oh, I suffered terribly from that.
Now, tell us, what is mind clutter disease?
Well, I think that the words that others give us as we're growing up and we're formative, they kind of build up in our head, just like if we, you know, the clutter that builds up in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them get stuck there. For instance, if you're chubby as a child and people call you names and say you're fat and all that stuff, for some people as they get older and they lose weight and they, you know, they look nice and stuff, that little word, that little fat word stays in their mind and eats at them, and they're never quite satisfied with themselves. That's an old clutter word,
mm-hmm.
you know, that somebody put in their head.
Yes, and it's getting rid of that. And
yeah,
that's a tough
and it's
one.
Learning how to do that, how
mm-hmm.
to clean out that clutter of words that are hurting us and keeping us from moving forward in our lives.
Now, you describe yourself as being a victim, and you said that you were really into that mentality mode of being the victim.
Oh, I loved being a victim.
Oh, you loved being a victim.
When I was addicted, I did.
Yes. I mean, it really served you well. And you said one of the big things that you used in that addiction was sex.
Certainly, yes. I had sexual addiction. I didn't know much about love, but I knew a lot about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... Like drugs and alcohol, it gave me a moment of high, a moment of feeling loved that I didn't have in my life. But it was only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And it never lasted.
Right. Well, no. You know, it's an instantaneous something. And then
but, you know, as long as I could say nobody loves me,
mm-hmm.
then I could excuse all my inappropriate behavior, all my self... loathing. I didn't really have to do anything because nobody had any expectations for me because I decided to self-destruct.
Now, you were 25 years old and you went through a phase at 25 where you were put into a mental hospital because you said you actually lost your mind.
I did.
How did that evolve?
I ran off... This is a little embarrassing. I ran off with another woman's husband and my son, who was younger then, and we went on a 6-month drunk, and I ended up stranded in Paducah, Kentucky in a hotel, and he'd left. I had no clothes, no money, no car, nothing. And I started ordering drinks up to the room and signing for him, and I didn't remember anything else after that for 2 or 3 days, and I came to strapped head and foot to a bed in a mental institution. I just basically lost my mind.
Now, you said after that, because that was such a powerful experience in your life, that today, as you work with addicts, because you've walked this road, you have come out of it, you've got a wonderful husband,
you've got a
good life. You said you tell them that the addicts have to stop living in their head. It's a dangerous place to be. Thoughts are like a pressure valve. If pushed down and held in long enough, eventually they'll explode in unhealthy ways.
Exactly.
And that's what happened to you at 25.
I went on overload. You know, my head, I couldn't function anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a long time in a mental institution.
Now, you found after that experience that you no longer wanted to be a victim of this mind noise, these thought processes that you kept playing like a looping tape over and over and over again. What was it that you did to change that in your head? Because I'm sure there are people that are listening to this show that say, well, I may not be a drug addict, but boy, I know what it is to have these beat the self up thoughts over and over and over again.
Right.
What did you do with that, Barb?
Well, you know, I examined those things with help from other people that gave me ideas on how to do it. I've got some examples in my book about different exercises a person can do that, is starting to actually look at those words, because that's what shaped my life. Those words that were stuck, that I was ugly, that I was stupid, that I would never amount to anything. I mean, I was one of those kids, they would just look at me and shake their head and say, something's wrong with that girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up believing there was something wrong with me.
Well,
I was not like you.
That is so true. You are bringing out a statement that I think is so important, because we all do it. We'll look at people and we'll make judgments without knowing that maybe the reasons that they've got a dirty face or something's happened is that maybe they just came out of a car accident or they were underneath the house trying to get the plumbing fixed or something. And we do this. I know I've done it. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But life has taught me, keep your mouth shut, start talking to somebody, and find out what's really going on.
Exactly. And that's what we do with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's listening to those words that are coming out of your mouth, your actions, paying attention to what you're doing and how you're feeling, and then go inside and discover why.
You have a chapter called Flower Power.
Right.
And you have a flower with five petals, and then you have the nucleus of the flower.
Right.
And you have free child, nurturing parent, critical parent, little professor, adaptive child, and adult.
Right.
How did you come up with those particular descriptions?
You know, somewhere along the line, somebody told me this a long time ago when I was going through my journey. And I don't remember who or where it came from, but it's always stuck in my mind, is that I was born a perfect flower, with each petal in the center the same size. And each one stood for one of those things. And as I grew and changed and listened to other people and situations happened, it was, this person that told me said it was just like a balloon. And if you squeeze one part of the balloon, the other part gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would happen was, because I grew up with very critical parents, alcoholic and addicted people who didn't have much good to say about me, my critical parent got huge, which
mm-hmm.
means my nurturing parent got real small.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept me in such a situation that my flower just got all out of whack. And so as I was going through my journey and I came upon this, I sat down and actually drew out my flower, what it looked like then, and discovered, how do I get this back into balance? We need a critical parent as part of our thought process to tell us when something's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need it to be huge to tell us we're bad all the time. You know, that we can't do anything right, that type of thing. So it's keeping all those things, or bringing all those things back to balance. So that, because when we take a question in our mind or a situation in our life to the wrong place for answers, say, you know, and when we need to use the adult and instead we go to the free child,
mm-hmm.
we're going to get a whole different set of answers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an exercise in there that you can use this to figure things out, to help you see where your flower is.
And I liked your comment at the end of the chapter. You said the power of the flower is awareness. You can't change what you don't acknowledge as a problem. You
right.
can change the disaster that is your thought process into the beautiful thing it was meant to be.
Right.
Because you did that.
I did.
Now, you had also in your book, you have in your book, Changing Words was the title, and you said there's a way of using words for yourself, because you started doing a lot of backpedaling. You were sort of playing your own psychiatrist to
right.
a degree. And you say you're very visual.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to find out three tarps. You have a keep tarp, an exchange tarp, and a trash tarp.
Right.
How did you come up with a tarp, and what do they represent?
I always watch this show on television where they go into these cluttered people's houses, and they drag everything out, and they put them on these tarps. And then they ask them questions, especially about the stuff on the keep tarp, because they want them to throw away a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was watching that one day, I was thinking, wouldn't it be neat if we could do that, if our brain was like a big house, and we could just drag all those words out and put them on these tarps, and decide, why am I keeping this? What is it serving, you know,
mm-hmm.
this word? Say ugly, the word ugly, which I held on to for years. Why am I holding on to this word? You know, what is it doing for me?
Mm-hmm.
And finding a way to get rid of it. If it's useless in my life, if it means nothing, why am I keeping it? I'm using it for, usually you're using it for an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Not to move, again, not to move forward with your life, not to try to be a success in life. Not to be happy because we're bad. Or that's what I thought.
That is such a real statement. And many, many times we can catch ourselves when we're having conversations and we go back into that looping pattern that maybe we've had for so many years and we think we've put it away and all of a sudden it comes wiggling out of our mouths and we can sit there and go, what in the world brought that back out again?
Exactly.
Isn't it amazing when you do that? And intellectually, you know that's not really what you want to be doing.
Right.
So your mindfulness of really being aware and putting it down, you know, through writing or being able to discuss it, it really makes a difference. I was having a lunch with someone today that I don't have often a chance to just sit down and chat with. And we were discussing this very thing. We were discussing a friend who has this habit pattern of, oh, this is just always so tough. This person just does not like change of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And so my friend would say to this individual, oh, it's going to be a piece of cake. Don't even worry about it. It's going to be so much fun. And finally, the lady started coming around, but it was not accepting what she was saying. We as individuals have to do that ourselves as well.
Exactly. It's a personal journey. It really is, and it's inside. I have a friend that always says this is an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, one of the things, Barb, I really appreciated is that you are not making any excuses for anything.
No.
Even though too much of your life you make the statements you did. But at this time in your life, and having gone through the journey, and you say, I'm not going to make any excuses. I did what I did. This is what was the script, and this is the role I played, because I felt this is what I should play, and I decided I wanted to change the script.
Right.
What was that experience that made you recognize that you didn't want to play the role you'd been playing anymore, that you wanted to dump and get rid of the addictive patterning?
Well, it was after a number of years after I had been in the mental hospital, and I'd gone through some therapy, and I'd gone to school. I finally gotten educated, and I started drinking again. I didn't drink for a few years, and then I started again. And then my son got killed, and I almost drank myself to death and took pills and did all kinds of destructive things. And I think it was when I hit bottom from that, and when I come to that point of living or dying, that I thought, you know, and I remember the day it happened. You know, I'm sitting in the middle of the floor knowing they were going to take me away again. I was going to be put back in that house, and I was probably never going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this woman who said to me once, you will experiment with insanity and death before you will experiment with spirituality.
What a statement for someone to make.
And, yes, really made me mad at the time.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
But,
I can imagine.
You know, that played in my mind that I needed help and that I couldn't do it on my own. And that's when I started seeking out help from people who'd gone down the path I wanted to travel.
And in fact, she had actually traveled one that was worse than what you had gone through.
Yes.
You listened to her story.
I did.
And that scared you.
Oh, it did. And well, the thought of being put away again was my scariest thing. I wasn't even as afraid of death, I don't think, as being incarcerated again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what really triggered that. And that was the first time I really had prayed since my kids were sick and my mom died. I just said, God help me. I didn't even know if there was a God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and something, anything, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started getting into action.
Mm-hmm.
I started asking questions of people who'd been there. I started going to meetings. I started finding out how do I get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest things that I found out was that I had to take my entire life down to small bites. That I had to keep it simple. Because when I let my brain run, nothing gets better.
You have a chapter talking about living inside out.
Right.
And there's one sentence where you say, you will know you're practicing the ability to live inside out when you do matches how you feel.
Right. That's when you quit doing what you think you should do, what somebody else thinks you should do, what society thinks you should do, but you actually truly trust your feelings and act accordingly.
You also have a chapter that you titled Awakening, and you felt that at that dark period of time, you were more in a coma than anything else.
Right.
And when you just let go, you call it surrender.
I surrendered.
You just said, all right, I let it go.
Right.
That's when the turnaround started.
When I ceased to fight everything and everyone, that's when it got better. When I opened my mind, I couldn't open my mind to things because I was always so angry and I was always fighting everything from God on down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That when I was finally able to cease fighting and decide to open my mind and have some hope, just a little glimmer of hope is all it took.
Mm-hmm.
For me to see that, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel wasn't always a freight train. You know.
I agree. There is a story that just popped into my head. It was about Buddha, and someone tried to make him bigger than what he was. And they said, well, what are you? He said, I'm just awake.
Yeah, I like that.
He's just awake.
I'm just awake. I'm paying attention.
That's right. And that's what he said. So it's fascinating when you look at your life and you look at what you've gone through, and obviously you have chosen to be open about it and wanting other people to be able to realize that anything that can be considered of an addictive nature, whether it be labeled with drugs or alcohol or sex or food or, you know, something else. I mean, there's a gazillion different...
Oh, it certainly
You know, there's no limit to it. It's ad infinitum, to be perfectly frank. You can be addicted to just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to be free of that, to be aware of that, that is such an accomplishment in a person's life.
Certainly.
Because I know a lot of people that supposedly don't have any addictions and they're comatose.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned. Their brains are not even functioning.
Yes.
They don't have a thought of their mind. I know I shouldn't be so critical, but I mean, there are those people out there.
You're right.
So you didn't stay there. You went through your own particular series of experiences and you've actually become empowered because of that. You now are sharing it with so many people. For you, when you look back at this part of your life that you experienced, what has been the most empowering aspect of the journey that you now share with people? What is it that, for you, empowers you every single day?
I have to say, for me, it's my spiritual connection. I'm a firm believer in a God of my understanding. I get up every day, turn my will and life over to my God, and I know when I do that successfully, I know that whatever happens that day, wherever I'm at, whomever I'm with, is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
That's a very special feeling. Now, I had to chuckle because you've even written your obituary. I just love this. It says epitaph here. She's got it all ready, folks. She's probably going to live to be 250. But here's her epitaph. 1947 to 1982, here lies Barb. She died the way she lived. Surrounded by empty bottles, what she put into life was what she got out of it. Chaos and misery.
Exactly.
Sheesh. You sure you're not going to change that?
I'll change that.
Yeah, because here's the one you really are going to have, dear. Here lies Barb. She knew joy and passed it on. She knew love and gave it freely. She lived as she died, boldly and unafraid.
That's my goal every day.
Yes. And I think that when we can face life as you have faced life, when you can be, and it's in your book, you're grateful for recovery, food, your place, job, friends, clean sheets, and health.
Yeah, right.
I like the clean sheets.
That's important to me.
Absolutely.
I didn't always have clean sheets.
Yes.
Or a place to sleep.
Right. And your appreciation of your physical self and not dumping on other people's lives, you really have become quite a free woman.
Oh, I am so free. I sleep so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't have any anger, hate in me.
And you talk about just some real good common sense perspectives, but it comes from your heart. And I think your book, Keep It Simple and Sane, is something that once a person would read it, they would probably want to make sure they had a highlighter, if they're anything like me, and just note certain things, and if anything, push their emotional buttons to go back and sort of treat it like a friend.
Right.
Because I think you've written it in that way, Barb. You've written it so that someone could have this book on their bedside table or wherever they'd want to keep it, and it's just like, I'm here. You can go ahead and open up to just about any page you want. You're going to find a part of me in here, and if you can relate to it, great, because if it can make your life better,
that's
what I want it to do.
When I write a book, I just tell myself, if this helps one person, it's worth every word.
I agree. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. Now, Barb, you have your own website, BarbRogersInspiration.com, BarbRogersInspiration.com. What will people find when they go to your website?
I've written a number of inspirational books, and there's costuming books, and I have services on there. I do some editing for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, actually, I've been a tarot card reader for many, many years, and I do that for entertainment. And I developed a kit of my own, and I use that.
Mm-hmm.
And I make still make custom costumes.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, you're an amazing lady.
I say, well, there's not much to do up here. Well, I stay busy.
Yeah, it sounds like you do. My goodness. Well, bless your heart. You've done a wonderful job with your book, Keep It Simple and Sane. Go to her website, BarbRogersInspirations.com. If you've ever had to deal with someone that has addictions, if you yourself are battling with something like this, Barb can become a friend through her book. go to her website, BarbRogersInspirations.com. You've got a place to go to if you need to have a little bit of that real soul touching stuff. Barb, thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, more good things to share. So be sure and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Coquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are now open. If you would like to be in touch with me, would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, that would be an absolute pleasure for me to do. Here are the toll-free numbers. You can call 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. Remember, all I need is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. Also, we have a toll-free line for Canada and the U.S., 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So both of those toll-free lines are open and available. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I'd love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, I'll tell you what I perceive. I don't ask you any questions. I just give you information. And then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. So again, 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756. Now, I know you just heard the message about glyconutrients. Well, I'm going to be having a meeting on January the 30th at 7 o'clock in the evening. And if you would like to find out about it, if you're in the Western Washington area around the Seattle-Tacoma area, give me a call, and I'll be happy to tell you where it's going to be held. And my newsletter, which has not been sent out yet because of some software that we are implementing, I want you to know that we'll have a little bit of the details in there, but if you want more information, just give me a call, because we're going to be talking about all kinds of good stuff, TTAP, nutrition, all kinds of things. So it's just a wonderful way for me to share what I have experienced and what other people are bringing to me in the way of information and knowledge. Also, the Conscious Life Expo, which is going to be in the middle of February, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, I'm going to be there. I will be speaking. I will also have a booth there, and I'm going to be in booth 537. So if you're in the Los Angeles area and you have the opportunity to come out to the Los Angeles, the LAX Hilton, right by the Los Angeles airport, then all you need to do is look for me at 537 in the primary ballroom, and you'll find that I'll be there, and I'm going to be doing many consultations. And again, I'm going to be speaking, and I know I've got a speaking opportunity on Friday evening. I'm not sure about Saturday. That was something that I was waiting for information on, but I will keep you up to date on that. Okay, I wanted to share a few details. I really, when people say to me, you know what, the good old days, things were so good in the good old days. People get so romantic about the past many times. Well, I know whenever I've done the Renaissance Fair and people have made a remark like that to me, I say, well, this is fine. I enjoy pretty costumes, but I'll tell you what, I'd no more want to go back and live in the medieval days than a man in the moon. The idea of washing my hair once a month does not appeal to me. The idea of not having shampoo as I have it today does not appeal to me. Much less deodorant, a few other nice aspects of hygiene that we have today, that was non-existent then. And I'm really not too interested in slogging through mud and dirt and all that kind of stuff. I think of the weather we're having in the Pacific Northwest right now. Well, in medieval days, you had this kind of miserable, rainy, drippy weather, wind blowing, temperatures are cold, and you're wearing a long dress with all these petticoats and you're sloshing through mud. Oh, no, thank you. I don't. That just doesn't appeal to me. Well, you know, there were a lot of things in the past, and we forget. We forget. We don't even think about them because we take so much of what we have today for granted. And I was looking through some material, and I came across some information here. Let me grab it. Do you know that during the Industrial Revolution in Europe, emphysema and bronchitis, it was known at that time. It was called the English disease. Why was it called the English disease? Well, there were so many people in England that had it because of the air pollution. They called it the London fog. And they also had a very high rate of smokers in England. So that is something, again, here we are today. We're dealing with the very same thing. Secondhand smoke. You have, you know, environments. What are you living in? How are you taking care of yourself? All of this really makes a difference. So air pollution is nothing new. And then imagine surgery without anesthetic. Do you know that there were job offers always being made for holders down? Do you know what they were for? Well, these were medical jobs you wouldn't want today, because they didn't have anesthesia when this job was being offered, and big, burly men would get those jobs because they had to hold patients down securely on the operating table until they passed out from pain, and even then they still held on to them. But again, that's what they did. They'd operate on them without any anesthesia. Yeah. Now, before the 1930s, most emergency ambulance services were provided by funeral homes. Why? They were the only one that usually had, for a lot of years, the capacity to get from one place to another very readily. Lots of these towns and communities before the 1930s, they didn't have very much in the way of transportation. So they would double up whatever needed to be done. And do you know, in the 12th century, there's a Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, he was the abbot head doctor of the Roman Catholic Church. He forbade the monks in his hospital from studying medical texts, and he prohibited the use of any remedy but prayer. Okay, well, thank you. They can keep the good old days. I'll go with today. And what do we have today? Well, we have a whole new world that's evolving very quickly, I may say. Now, robots are nothing new. And if you're like me and you've ever seen the Jetsons, you'd always like to have a Rosie the Robot around to do the cleaning up of the house, just get her programmed so she got everything done and you wouldn't have to be bothered. And she also had a nice personality. Well, the dawn of Smart Matter Robot, that is here right now. There is what they call a Checkbot robot. And I've got a picture of it, and it's got modules that it's got all over it, and it's nothing exciting to look at. It is just what looks like a bunch of boxes with all kinds of stuff on it. Well, it's 15 blocks in total, and they say it moves with the grace of a toddler and looks like something that might have been designed by that very toddler. However, there is a gentleman, Mark Yim. He created it. And when he's demonstrating it, when he sets it up, he'll give it a swift kick, and all the pieces on this robot fly apart. And then the robot is in action, does something that's absolutely amazing. The modules, no matter where they've been scattered, they flip over, and they wiggle towards each other, actually wiggle towards each other. And they're guided by cameras that are built into them and their internal sensors. Now, once they make contact, they magnetically latch together. And do you remember Terminator 2? Do you remember the cyborg that was dressed as a cop would change form? He became liquid whenever he was shot or whatever, and then would reassemble himself in the form he wanted to take on? Well, that's like this. That's what this does. Now, it's not liquid, but it is doing the very same thing. It reminds you of that. Now, he, again, is a mechanical engineering professor at the GRASP lab at the University of Pennsylvania. He said his robot is one of the first fully active prototypes of a new kind of machine composed of what researchers are calling smart matter. It thinks. Now, the mechanical parts, they'll function independently, and they also will work together very, very nicely. Now, the military has had a real strong interest in this. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agencies, it's an arm of the U.S. Department of Defense, is really excited about what Mr. Yim has found, and they're exploring how to endow robots and other military equipment with self-sufficiency so that they can work independently whenever there are explosions and they're in a war zone. This is amazing thinking. It is something that could have all kinds of applications, and not necessarily for war. But it would allow materials, perhaps, to come together if they've been damaged in some way, be able to heal themselves. Smart matter. This used to be just a science fiction term, where it is really becoming a reality today. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to give me a call, hey, I'm open, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are a couple of phone numbers, toll-free, that you can call in to 877-876-5227. It's 877-876-5227. And Canadians, as well as people in the U.S., 888-815-9756. Remember, all I need is your first name or initial. I am going to be giving you more information about a special two-hour broadcast that I'm going to be doing with a fellow broadcaster, Monique Chapman, Walking with Spirit, on another show program. So that'll be coming out in my newsletter as well. And we're getting all of that stuff coordinated. So you'll be able to have all of that information once it is posted to my website. And if you're on my email list, it has not been sent out yet. We are going to be sending that out probably before the end of this week. So you'll have all of the up-to-date schedule of what is evolving and happening with me and in my world of travel and interaction with you and other people. Now, by the way, tomorrow we're going to be talking about better brain at any age. Sandra Kornblatt. Boy, this is really a hot topic today, because they're realizing the brain does not die in the sense of what we perceived for so many years, that was it. When you got a certain age, you were just going to deteriorate. Mm-mm. No, folks, they're finding that that brain regenerates itself and can learn entirely new ways of operating. Real good stuff. So we're going to be talking with Sandra Kornblatt tomorrow, Better Brain at Any Age. Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I've got some other fun stuff to share, and I might even have a special recipe. We'll see when we come back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Vitaly, the new name in electronic music, presents his new album.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danyon Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to take our caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Nahid, and from Chicago.
Hi, Nahid. Well, I'm so glad you were able to get through, and you're in Chicago. Do you have snow?
Not yet, but probably soon.
Uh-huh. Well, if you're like us, you'll enjoy it, but you'll be very happy when it's gone. And I know Chicago gets pretty good winds, and it can get pretty cold there. This is the time of the year when a lot of that stuff starts coming in.
Yeah.
The first thing I'm looking at with you, dear, is education. I think you are a natural-born teacher. I think you are a person that has a great deal of joy whenever you can share with others your knowledge, your experience. And there is a part of you right now that is feeling very frustrated, as if you are play-acting a certain level of experience in your life and you're not feeling fulfilled. I'd like to encourage you to look into an area of specialized training and education that you've wanted to explore. And I want to encourage you to do exactly that, because what it's going to give you is the gift of what I call that inner aha, where you say to yourself, my goodness, I just so love this. If I didn't get paid for it, I would love it. But I'm looking at you building a career that is going to be very much involved with one-on-one with people, but also dealing with a lot of detail. And it says if research and study and compiling stats of whatever kind you might be working with will be very satisfying to you, because it will be related to the interest area that you have. And what's going to come out of this is that I give you about 7-8 years, you're going to become known as an expert, if you will, in a particular arena of knowledge, and you're going to find yourself feeling so satisfied yet motivated to go even further. But what is going to be most meaningful to you are the friendships that you are going to be developing during the next 5 to 7 years. And these are friendships that are going to be with you for the rest of your life. These are people who are going to nourish you, if you like that terminology, with the richness of their own experience, with their level of knowledge, and it just seems to add to you. You love to learn. You don't care whether it's figuring out a better way to scramble an egg to physics. It doesn't make any difference. If you feel that something has a value, the aspect of learning has always been very positive for you. So you just need to know that's going to be all of your life. And don't ever think you're going to retire, because that's not going to be the case. You're going to be very successful in your own way, and you're going to always be stepping into new arenas. You don't like being in a box. You don't like labels being put on you. And so you're going to label yourself, perhaps, but you will actually find that you'll have many labels that you can pull out. Not unlike the guest that I just had on. You'll be able to say, well, I do this, I can do this, and I can do this. So in one respect, one might want to use the term generalist in an area of profession that's going to be very, very close to your heart. You'd make an excellent counselor. I don't care what medium it might be in, just because of the fact that you are very clear, very, very clear in the way that you process things. You don't harbor shadows. And I think that that's very, very good. What question would you like to ask me today?
I'm looking to change careers and do something very similar to what you are talking about, but I am being stymied and finding it difficult to make that transition. I was wondering if you have any idea as to when that may come about.
All right. What are you doing, and what would you like to do?
I work as a financial analyst in one of the accounting firms in Chicago. Mm-hmm. My goal is to move to the UN for a few years, or somewhat of a related field, and develop the network and the contacts that I'm looking for to then branch out and do my own thing, which is similar to counseling, if you will, but providing workshops dealing with self-awareness. Very close to actually what your guest today was talking about, helping people sort of figure themselves out so that they can learn mm-hmm. how to move forward.
Well, let me say this. Where you are right now is giving you an outstanding base. And let me just drop a few thoughts in your mental cauldron. Sort of consider them like a little bit of seasoning. You are not by any stretch of the imagination lost, but why not utilize the very industry that you are currently in? And I believe it's Greenbaum Bank. And if you would do some research on them, I think you're going to find it quite interesting how they are doing the micro loans for women
mm-hmm.
so that they start businesses. And what you have in experience in the financial arena, if you expand that, that is going to be such a nice complement to whatever else you choose to do. But you need to be aware of areas of the financial industry that perhaps you could expand yourself into. Maybe changing to another company, perhaps. But just check that one particular resource out. If nothing else, look up and see what banks are doing these micro loans in different parts of the world. And take the time to investigate them. Look at their concepts. Look at what's going on. Because it is taking what was previously not going to be made available to someone, the opportunity for individuals to be able to become financially independent. And I think, again, this is something that would empower you on so many levels that it just dovetails beautifully with what you are wanting to explore or go into. And I would say use the resources that are around you right now to empower you towards that objective.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes plenty of sense. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And by the way, if you're wanting to have an association with the UN, look for those people that have the connections to the very thing I just mentioned. And then contact them directly.
Okay.
There may be an opportunity for you to have some training overseas or to link up with people in the United States. And you're in Chicago. You're in a primary city that I would think would give you opportunity for this. I think you have embarked on an adventure, my dear, that I think is going to take you into some fascinating experiences.
Great. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. And thank you for calling in.
No problem. Have a good day.
Oh, my goodness. We're out of time. This is Donna Siebel. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever give up the old right of your own individuality to anyone else. We're out of time. See you same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.